If you notice in your bulletin, it's rather disturbing. The first three announcements in there are total lies. I've talked to Judy about this before, but look at the third one. Sunday school, ABF. Sunday school, adult Bible fellowship, following the service for all ages, children and adults. We're not having ABF today. Number two, Lori Turner with Child Evangelism Fellowship will give an update on CEF's ministry in Rhode Island. That's a lie. She is not going to be here. The first one, Pastor John Gosdone resumes a series on Romans. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. It's just, I suppose, when's the soup night? Is that ever going to happen? Okay, the soup night. The soup night is happening. The business meeting is happening. As the snow started to fall yesterday, and it just started to get real bad, I was thinking, I wasn't expecting a lot of people to be here, and oftentimes we project onto others what we feel ourselves, and I was always growing up, when I finally got to the point where I'd listen to sermons, I hated to miss a sermon, a series. I remember not wanting almost to go on vacation to hear what my pastor was going to say. Now, there's probably only two of you out there, and neither of them are here today, so that makes my point. You probably couldn't care less, but I do. So I preach to people who have, I assume that people want to know what I want to know. So I kind of have that approach when I preach. That's why I don't do lots of here and there and everything, because I want to understand Scripture in context so I can interpret it properly. So I started to think, you know, what if there's only 10 or 15 or 20 people here tomorrow? There may be some people here who don't want to miss Romans. Now, if I had still been in Romans chapter 2 or early part of 3, I probably would have preached anyway, because you're all sick of hearing about sin. But the place that we would be getting to Romans chapter day, to today, chapter 3, verse 21, that marks a big turnaround. He goes from speaking about the problem to speaking about the solution. And I wanted everybody to be here to make that turn. Pardon? And I want you to, it was only you and Lori, actually, by the way, were the only people who needed to think about it a little bit more deeply, but others can as well. So you'll still have to live with the burden of sin for another week, and then we'll clear it all up next time. So what I decided to do as the day was going on and the snow was building up, I was thinking, well, what would we do instead of doing that, instead of doing Romans? And I thought, in light of the new year ushering in, in light of being reminded of so many negative things about us from the early chapters of Romans, I thought maybe something that lifts our vision a little bit more. And so I wanted to share a few thoughts based on an invitation that the psalmist makes. In Psalm 66, verse 5, the psalmist says, "Come and see the works of God, who is awesome in his deeds toward the sons of men." And that's really quite an invitation. Somebody invited you to see the premiere of a new Star Wars movie. Wow, I get to see this. And the psalmist invites us to see the works of God, who is awesome in his deeds toward the sons of men. When you open your eyes, what do you see? When you look around at the world, when you consider your circumstances, what do you see? What catches your eye? One of William Barton's stories is called The Unopened Window. Now there came to me a man with a sad countenance, and he said, O Safed, what he called him, name of a wise man, how he portrayed himself, O Safed, thy words of wisdom are known to all, and thy virtue exceedeth even thy wisdom. May thy days be long. And I heard him, and I answered not. For the one who cometh unto me with a little too much taffy, and then some, hath an axe to grind. And I said, If thou hast business, say on, for time passeth. And he said, O Safed, I have a neighbor, and he is an undesirable citizen. His house joineth hard unto mine upon the north, and he annoyeth me continually. He and his kids keep up a continual roughhouse, which greatly annoyeth us. And he hath daughters, and there come to see them young men, who sit with them on the porch till any old time of night, and they laugh and raise Ned, so that sleep is driven from our eyes and slumber from our eyelids. Yea, and when we look that way, we see things that vex our righteous souls. And I said, Are they immoral? If so, thou mayest call the police. And he said, They are not what you might call immoral, for my wife hath watched them much through the window. She hath a place where she sitteth and watcheth while she darneth stockings. Yet are they noisy. Yea, they are the limit. And I said to him, How many windows hath thy house? And he said, My house standeth foursquare. And it hath windows towards the north, the south, the east, and the west. And I said to him, Move thou over to the south side of thy house. Thou shalt have more sleep and sunshine. Yea, moreover, speak thou to thy wife that she darn her stockings where she hath less to see. And he went away angry. But I counted it among my good deeds. And I meditated thereon, and I considered that there are many people who live on the north side of their own souls. Yea, they curse God, that they hear the racket and are sad, and behold, their south windows are unopened. As you view life, what do you see? As you consider your present circumstances, the things that you're dealing with, the things that you're going through, what do you see? As you think back to yesterday, as you think about last week, as you think about this past month, as you think about this past year, what do you see? As you look back on the whole of your life, what is it that you see? We can be so easily drawn to look out the north window of our soul. It's always easy to think about the things that annoy us, the things that aggravate us. It's easy to fixate on the things that keep us up at night, that raise our blood pressure. It's so easy to focus on the slights and the hurts that we've experienced, and they consume us. What about you? When you open your eyes, what do you see? The psalmist really invites us to look out the south window of our souls. What do you see when you look out the window? This is what the psalmist says. Come and see the works of God, who is awesome in his deeds toward the sons of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There let us rejoice in him. The psalmist doesn't belabor the fact, but he just throws out a little hint. He's telling the people, look back in history and see how God has intervened. And he takes people back to the experience of the nation of Israel when God rescued them from Egypt. And although he doesn't elaborate on that in the psalm, Moses does in the first chapter of Deuteronomy. If you want to turn in your Bibles, you can turn to Deuteronomy chapter 1. We're just going to look at a few verses in Deuteronomy chapter 1. What Moses does in Deuteronomy chapter 1 is he reminds us of the value of seeing the works of God and the danger of not. So this sermon will basically have two parts. One is I'm going to steal material from the psalmist, as I just did, and from Moses here in Deuteronomy. And that'll be my contribution. And then after that, I want to give you an opportunity, in light of what Moses says, to tell me what you see as you look at your life, as you look back on this past year, as you look back on your life. What do you see? As the end of the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness was drawing to a close, Moses began to prepare the people to enter the promised land. To help them prepare for the future, he gets them to think about the past. Before he starts to challenge them to march forward into new territory, he tells them to think about where they've just been. And he looks back to the first opportunity they had to enter the promised land about 40 years earlier, soon after their miraculous deliverance from slavery in Egypt. God brought them to the edge of the land, and it was before their eyes. And so in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, this is what Moses said. I said to you, you have come to the hill country of the Amorites, which the Lord our God is about to give us. See, the Lord your God has placed the land before you. Go up, take possession, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has spoken to you. Do not fear or be dismayed. He wanted them to see. He wanted them to look out the window. He wanted them to see all the blessings that he had in store for them in this land. And he wanted them to trust him and to not fear. He's telling them, look out the south window. And when they reached Kadesh Barnea, they sent out spies. You may remember that. They sent out 12 spies to search out the land and come back and give a report. They not only returned with a report, they returned with some of the fruit of the land. Verse 25 of Deuteronomy 1. Then they took some of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down to us, and they brought us back a report and said, it is a good land which the Lord our God is about to give us. The land was indeed good. It's often referred to, I'm one slide behind, thank you. Okay, thank you. Just let me know if I goof again. Let me know when I goof again. It's often described in Scripture as a land flowing with milk and honey. I prefer chocolate and cake, but you get the idea. But that is not all that they saw. 10 of the 12 spies saw other things. And the other things they saw overshadowed the good things. And I think that's because they were looking out the north window of their souls where the sun doesn't really shine. And they let some of the challenges obscure all the blessings that God had in store for them. And unfortunately for them, and unfortunately for the nation, those who came back with the negative report were much more persuasive than the two who came back with the positive report. What did these 10 spies see when they looked out the window? Verses 26 and 27. Yet you were not willing to go up, but rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. And you grumbled in your tents and said, because the Lord hates us, he has brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. And what they saw, but notice the impact of what they saw, how it influenced their attitude toward God. The fact that they saw obstacles and challenges and difficulties caused them to see God in a negative light. They really saw God as their enemy. They saw God as somebody who didn't love them or care about them. So what was it that they saw? Verse 28. The people are saying, where can we go up? Our brethren have made our hearts melt, saying, and what did the spies report? The people are bigger and taller than we. The cities are large and fortified to heaven. And besides, we saw the sons of the Anakim, who were giants, large people there. What did they see? All they saw was the obstacles. They come back with giant grapes on their shoulders. And all they could see was the obstacles in front of them. After God told them, I'm giving you the land. Formidable enemies, fortified city. Doesn't matter what God said. All they saw was the obstacle. They were disheartened. They were disturbed. So what does Moses do? Moses tells them to look out the south window, to see the things that were obscured. So he says in verses 29 and 30, then I said to you, do not be shocked nor fear them. The Lord, your God, who goes before you, will himself fight on your behalf, just as he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. You know what he's saying? Believe what you've seen before. There was a time when you were overwhelmed with what you saw I had done for you. There was a time when you were looking out the south window, and now all of a sudden you're looking out the north window, and all you see is the obstacles. He says, what I want you to do is go to the south window and remember what you've seen, what I've done for you. And Moses is really offering them the same invitation that the psalmist offered. Come and see the works of God, who is awesome in his deeds toward the sons of men. He invites them to gaze upon his care, his provision for them that they've seen in the past. They've already seen it. First thing he does, he invites them to see what they saw in Egypt when God fought on their behalf, when God is the one who delivered them and set them free. The children of Israel weren't freed from Egypt because they got an army together and got a catapult and had bombers. God did all the work to set them free. What did God do? He sent 10 plagues, which wreaked havoc among the Egyptians. Did any of them touch Israel? No. God protected them. They saw that. They experienced that. As they were leaving, they're faced with the Red Sea. How are they going to get across there? build a bridge. God parted the sea. They walked across a river. And when they got across, the waters came down and wiped out the Egyptian army. They saw God work in delivering them from Egypt. They also saw God work when they were in the wilderness. Verse 31. And in the wilderness where you saw how the Lord your God carried you, just as a man carries his son, in all the way which you have walked until you came to this place. Moses is saying, look out the south window. You've seen God deliver you. You've seen him care for you as you've been wandering in the wilderness. Now the land is right in front of you. The Lord gave them water and manna and quail in the wilderness. He miraculously delivered them from the Egyptians, who were superior warriors to people in Canaan. And they're looking at giants in the land, but they weren't looking high enough to see that the Lord was greater than the giants. And when you see giants in comparison to God, they don't look so big anymore. They should have seen the Lord fighting for them. They should have seen the Lord caring for them. And they made a mistake 40 years earlier, Moses is saying. And so he says in verse 32, but for all this, for all that they had seen God do, but for all this you did not trust the Lord your God. They were looking out the wrong window. And Moses didn't want them to repeat the same mistake. And a few chapters later, Moses told them in chapter 4, verse 9, only give heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently, so that you do not forget the things which your eyes have seen, and they do not depart from your heart all the days of your life, but make them known to your sons and your daughters. Moses says, come on over here to the south window. Look out, and what do you see? You see God working on your behalf. He says, I want you to let that sink into your hearts, and then I want it to impact your lips as well. I don't want you just to just have this in your mind, what you see. I don't want it to just govern your own heart, but I want it to be passed on to others. That's why he says, but make them known. What you see, what you know, now make it known to other people. But make them known to your sons and your grandsons. Whatever you see out the south window, keep on passing that down, because we need to be reminded of that over and over again. So when you open your eyes, when you scan your circumstances, when you scan your schedule, when you look at your family, your situation at work, your health, what do you see? Sometimes we just see the trials and the tribulation. Sometimes all we see is the heartache and the pain. Sometimes we see sickness and death. But that's just looking out the one window. When you look at the south window, you see everything else. You see the Lord, and you see who he is, and you see what he's done. Maybe we spend too much time looking out the north window. We get focused on the things that are not going well, and we forget about the God who made the supreme sacrifice for us so that eternity will go well. The psalmist invites us to the window. He says, I want you to come and see the works of God. What do we see? Come and see the works of God. who is awesome in his deeds toward the sons of men. I admire people who are naturally optimistic. I don't think that's my nature to be naturally optimistic. But I like people who are always upbeat. I mean, they really annoy me. But I would really like to be one of those annoying people. And God bless you who are that way. This is trouble when you don't spend a whole week working on a particular sermon. What Moses is encouraging the people to do, what the psalmist is encouraging the people to do, really doesn't have anything to do with personality. It has to do with spirituality. He's talking to everybody that all of us have a choice as to what we focus on when we look. And so what the psalmist is encouraging us to do and what Moses is encouraging us to do is, you know, we open our eyes and we see what we see. But what are we going to focus on? And that's something all of us need to work on, whether we are naturally drawn to see the positive or unnaturally drawn to see the positive, whether we focus on the things that are wrong. I'm old enough, and many of you are old enough as well, to know that you've met many people in your life through the years. And you can probably find people who've been in very similar circumstances. Some of them have looked at their circumstances only through the north window, and others through the south. Circumstances very close, equally trying and challenging. And yet it's amazing how they work through their difficulties and how they live their lives. It's not the circumstances that determine our outlook. It's what we focus on. And we need to make sure that in the midst of whatever's going on in our lives, we're focused on what we see out the south window. You know, faith is not blind faith. Now, sometimes faith is blind in the sense that we have to trust God for something we yet don't see. But the faith that we're asked to exercise in what we don't see has already been partially built up by what we've already seen. So it's not totally blind. It's just that I've trusted God. I've seen him do many things. I just haven't seen around this corner. So I guess, now that I think about it, I've turned... 62 other corners that I couldn't see, but I saw him work every time I turned the corner. So maybe this corner is blind, but my faith isn't blind because I've seen him work. And that's what the psalmist does often, as different psalmists do when they go through their psalms. That's what Moses is doing for the children of Israel. He's saying, look back and remember what you saw. You think when you turn this corner and enter the promised land, you think he's not going to be faithful? So we need to remember that. I need to remember that as the year unfolds. We're not sure what's going to happen, but we know that the Lord is with us. He has a wonderful track record, and we can trust him. So I'm just curious. I've said enough. I want to give you an opportunity maybe to talk about what you see in your life right now, what you've seen, not looking out the north window, but looking out the south window.